Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. It's me once again. It's JT, and the host is Mac Williams, and the show is No Chaser. The number to call is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is a place where you can talk to us if you want to call in. That's what it is. And without further ado, let me introduce and bring in the host of the show, Mr. Mac Williams. Good evening.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good evening, Jerry. How you doing?
All right.
I'm good. I just had to laugh. Your intro was, it was funny. It sounded like a little kid. You was getting on the phone. You was like, hello, it's me. I just, I didn't want to break up in the middle of your monologue, but it was hilarious. I was like, no, he didn't say, hey, it's me. That's funny. Oh, man. But anyway, how's your week been?
Not bad. I can't complain. Busy. You got a long weekend. I didn't have anything on the JOB today, so I got a long weekend.
Well, that's great. That's always good. It's always good to have a long weekend and nothing to do on the day when you get off. That's really
great.
Good.
Yeah.
I had a great week. Had a tough loss on Monday. We did not repeat as champions.
What happened, man?
Just, we picked the worst time, man, to have a bad game. I mean, I really can't be angry or mad at them. I can only be proud of them. We got beat by a team that deserved it. They just beat us. They outplayed us in every area of the game.
Wow.
And they played tough defense. Funkhouse deserved it. At Congress Park Mob over there in D.C., they played us tough. And we had beat them twice before. I mean, we beat the brakes off them like 2 weeks before.
Wow.
And for some reason, I just think maybe we got in there and thought we were just going to show up and win, and I think we just found out we couldn't. And I kept warning them. I kept saying, these guys are going to really fight us. They're not going to lie down. This is probably the guys that beat us are probably one of the toughest teams as far as defensively in the league. I mean, they just scrapped. I mean, they pull, grab, I mean, everything but punch you in the face. I mean, they do everything they can. They're going to, you know, and they just closed out. They didn't leave nothing open. They just, they beat us in every phase of the game. And, you know, if I was going to lose to any team, I would rather lose to that team. I probably would have been a little more hurt or a little more down had we lost to a team that I thought wasn't worthy of, you know, if they were just some bums and they just beat us and it was like no excuse.
Right.
But they beat us.
Mm-hmm.
And congratulations to Funkhouse. That's their name, Funkhouse, and they're from Congress Park in D.C. And they beat us. So
okay. With
that, we got all the way there out of 19 teams. We didn't lose a game since we hadn't lost a game since June. So I can't
Damn.
Be mad.
That's a tough loss, though. That's got to be a tough loss.
It's very tough, especially to get that close. But I can't blame it on any one person or any people. I mean, we just didn't do the job. We didn't do things. I mean, like I said, we win as a team, we lose as a team. You know, it's not one of those things where, you know, it's one guy, two guys. We all had a bad game, and that just is totally unacceptable. And we got – but at the same time, you have to tip your hat to your opponent because I recognize and realize that they did things to earn it. And I'm not going to lay it off on us. We beat ourselves, but at the same time, they beat us too. And
right.
The combination of the two ends up being that they're the champions. And we have a chip on our shoulder, and you know, it's kind of good because we got something to, you know, it was never an issue of hunger. It was never an issue of, you know, thinking we could turn it on, turn it off. Because if that was the case, we would have been losing games before we got there. We would have been just scraping by, but we were winning, and we were winning by double digits. So it wasn't like we were winning. We were just barely getting by and scraping. So I'm proud of them. And we'll come back next year and we'll do it again. Now,
is that the first time Funk Health won the championship?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Their first time winning their championship. That's the first time they've ever been that far, you know.
Okay.
But like I said, they've always been a tough team. But, you know, for whatever reasons, they couldn't put it together sometimes. But this year they put it together. So, you know, you can't be mad at them. They put it together. So, I had a brief conversation today with Victor, who is our director.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna make this short and sweet about you know, the convention, about Romney, about other things. So I feel like we had a good one, and it was a good one. There was nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying anything like it was bad. We had a good, healthy discussion, which I always like about Vic and you. Is that
mm-hmm.
you guys are not, it's not an angry or crazy or, you know, hang up the phone, screw you, F you, blah, blah, kind of thing. It's always it's an intelligent discussion, and I do that. And I'll only address this, and this is one thing I want to make very clear. I know it sounds selfish, but it's not. You know, my thing is, I told him that, you know, I didn't care about, I told him I didn't really care about the other sideshow stuff. You know, I'm interested in results. And one of the things I said was, this election to me means, it's about my daughter finding a job when she gets out of college. It's about my economics and my economy and my home and things like that. And I was just basically like, I'm not going to get sidetracked with other things. I mean, he was saying things like, you know, well, they're lying, and this, and this, and that, da 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 da. And I said, I don't really care about all that. All I care about is results. All I care about is making it better. I know what I got for 4 years from this guy. I don't want this guy no more, and I don't want 4 more years of this. I want to try something different, try something new. I said, and if this guy can, and if this guy does it, fine. If he doesn't, I'll scream on him just like I scream on this one. You know, because over the last week or so, I've been, you know, I just gotten exasperated with just stuff that people have said and stuff like that, and I just feel it's gone beyond just politics. And it's gotten real personal, and I don't really like that. And it's gotten to be to a point where I stopped debating people. I mean, Vic is the first person I probably debated in the last 2 weeks, like anybody. And people have brought things to me, you know, posted things, said, you know, what about this, and, you know, why do you think this, and why do you think, and I try to tell people, I said, look, you know, I could give less. I mean, if I don't have five, if I have to feed my kids, and a guy gives me $100 and says, "Here, go feed your kids," do I really care if he put his money in the Cayman Islands? Do I really care if he kept his dog on a roof? Do I really care that he hasn't shown but 2 years of tax returns? Do I really care about some of those things that he's done? I don't care. I got $100. He made my life easier. I can feed my kids. And all I'm looking for is results. And this election right now is about results. And I know what I'm getting right now. And right now all I hear is, well, if these people go in, oh, man, this is going to happen. And I'm going like, and I'm looking at it like, well, shoot, how can it get any worse? And if it does, how much worse can it get? And if it does get worse, I mean, what am I going to do about it? My thing is, you know, as far as I'm concerned, this election is about, like I said, is about my family and about my kids. And I don't know if you saw my post on Facebook, I think it was last week or this week, and I basically said, I don't care what people say about me. You know, I've been called Uncle Tom, Coon, Uncle Remus.
Yeah, I know that. I've seen that what you stated on Facebook.
Right.
Go ahead.
And I basically said, if that's what I'm going to be, because I care about this country and I care about the future of my children, my grandchildren, and myself, then I'll be that. You know, because the simple fact is that, Jerry, you see things a different way and you vote for Obama. And I'm good with that. I don't put you down for that. I don't put you as less than a person in that. I would never call you a name for that. Never.
Right.
Because you know why? Because that's you. Because that's you. God made you to like certain things that I don't like. You eat certain foods I don't like. You do certain things I don't like. And what's really bothering me to be honest with you, is that it's my people that's doing it. That's going out calling somebody, you know, cracker, fools, them coons, you know, them field niggas, you know, and it pisses me off because I'm like, where do you guys get off with that? Because you the same people who criticize every president up until this one, and now all of a sudden it's different. I can't deal with it. I find it very disturbing that white people who are for Obama are not racist. White people who are for Obama are okay people. They're great. But if a white person says something against Obama, well, they're racist. That's, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm on radio. But that's bullshit.
Well, I mean,
every white person is not like that. You know, till we start getting x-rays and find out what people's heart says, we can say that. But I think that's wrong.
I understand what you're saying. But this is the deal here. Let me see if I can break this down.
Mm-hmm.
When a person of a different color, I'll put it that way, okay, other than Obama, you have to listen to what they're saying and how they're saying it, because it could have overtones of a certain type that I'm not saying it is, but it could be a hidden message in what the person is actually saying. There's always a code, certain codes that people use to say a racist remark without saying actually that racist word or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the problem.
But I mean, give me an example, because me and you have talked about this before.
I'm trying to think of an example of
because
someone,
you remember last time you said this, I said to you, I said, Jerry, I said, tell me something, tell me one thing that anybody has said that's not been black about Obama that's different from what we've always said about presidents from the time we've been allowed to know.
I can't think of one right now, but I know the other guest we have coming in right now by the name of Macau will definitely pick up the slack.
Go ahead.
And bring one up. So let's welcome in Macau to the show.
Oh my goodness, you must have heard me. I was like, ooh, pick me.
I was listening to an episode of Welcome Back, Carter.
Ooh. How you doing, sir?
What's up, sir?
Ain't too much. Well, one thing I could definitely point out is, you know, the whole Bertha thing. I mean, that's just too simple. I mean,
But how is that racial, though? I'm asking.
Because
wait a minute. I just want to say this. I don't understand. I'll give you guys this. I honestly have never heard. I'll admit, I've never heard anybody say, I want to see his birth certificate to make sure he's actually of this country. I've never heard a president like that since I've been alive. I'll give you that.
Right.
But here's my point. But I see why, because I'm going to tell you, I'm a black man, okay? And I'm going to be honest with you. Based on what I've seen over the last 4 years, and based on certain things he said and with certain things he's done, I personally have thought that he's a Muslim. That's just me.
Wait a minute, hold on.
But before you guys go there, but let me ask you a question. I've grown up around Muslims. So what's wrong with that?
Let me jump in here real quick. There is nothing wrong with that, but the perception of the majority, and I'm talking about the majority of Americans of a particular race that have a stigma and have a stereotype. If you're a Muslim, you're a terrorist, and if and you're against the United States, and put that label, that's That's the type of code word I'm talking about. That's the type of code thing I'm talking about. If they label Obama a Muslim, then they're labeling him he's against the United States, and that's one of the reasons they think he shouldn't be president.
Then let me ask you a question.
Can I ask you the last question?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Ask the question.
Well, I just said just two things about that. The first thing I wanted to say is, I mean, when he released his long form, you know, birth certificate and
mm-hmm.
had the Hawaii officials certify
mm-hmm.
that this was his birth certificate,
mm-hmm.
he still had people coming back out saying, well, you know, I want to investigate that. They went down
mm-hmm.
to Hawaii and they kept on with it. But
right.
the second part to what you said about him, you know, you thinking he was a Muslim, I mean, which one is it? I mean, because I remember the whole Jeremiah Wright thing, the whole
mm-hmm.
debacle with that. He was, you know, a radical African-American in the African-American church. I mean,
when is the last time you've been to a church and you've heard a pastor say that? I've never been there. I've never been in a church, and I went to an all-white church when I was coming up, okay, in the inner
pastor?
City of Detroit.
So,
I've never heard a pastor say, goddamn America. I've never heard a pastor get up and talk about this country in such derogatory terms. And then you call yourself a Christian? Like, really?
But the fact of the matter remains, there was not a Muslim church. You know what I'm saying?
No,
he wasn't Muslim. And he had been going there for a very long time.
And I give you that. But here's what I will say. But there are people out here who believe certain principles and certain pieces of it. For instance, and I'll do this, and you guys will agree with me probably. There are certain sects of people who call themselves Christians, but they don't believe what the Bible says. Then you're not a Christian. Even God says that you follow what I say, or you're not. So. And there's people who take certain things and twist it. Let me give you an example. You guys will agree with this one. Ku Klux Klan think killing black people in the name of God is a Christian thing. No, it's not. They call themselves Christian. It's not. So what I'm saying to you, I say that to you to illustrate this. My experience with Muslims, is that growing up in the inner city and growing up around Muslims, the same dudes who wore the white garb, the beanies on their head or whatever they had on and go around and do it, nice guys. I never had no problem with them, but the one thing that got me about them was that they all hated the white man. They all hated certain people, and they all told these stories about how there's these white men somewhere in this high up in some office somewhere plotting and planning against black people. And everything that they do is against us. I've had a Muslim tell me the funniest thing. I've cracked up in his face. I know he wanted to slap the hell out of me. He actually told me when I was a teenager, told me that the Washington Monument was a big white dick made for them, for a white man, but they made it to as an altar to themselves to say, screw the black people. I was told that. I told more ridiculous stuff than that. I laughed at the guy. If I hadn't been so enlightened, by that time, because that's what they told me. But every Muslim that I've known, I ain't never seen one that's had any balance as far as they've always said all of them is the same, and that's it.
But let me say this. I'm gonna let you go, Jerry. The fact still remains. You know what I'm saying? There's a clear difference between a Muslim and a Christian. You know, there's no in between. While I hear what you're saying, it still shows a vast contradiction in the stories that they're trying to tell and to have stick. So the only thing that which leads me to believe is that it is slight racism. That's all.
Okay.
Period.
You know what? And I tell you this on the way off on the phone. I agree with you that here's my thing. I'm not, and I told Jerry this, and Jerry will verify I said this. I'm not saying every white person likes Obama or dislikes Obama based on policy. don't get me wrong. I grew up in the inner city of Detroit. I know what racism is. I know every white person don't know me, you know, don't know me and don't like me just because I can talk as intelligent as I want. He don't like my color. He don't like me, period. That's fine. I'm not beyond saying that. But I'm just the type of person that does. My thing is, if you're going to say something like that, then show me. Don't just assume, because if that's the case, that's people, black people say the same thing when I walk. How about when I walk into a store with shorts on and shoes with no, and tennis shoes with no socks and a shirt, and I walk in and a white guy follows me around? He's assuming I'm going to steal. Why? Because I look like it. Because I may sound like it the way I'm talking to my man when we come in there. He don't know whether I got money or not. And we do the same thing with this. I think we do the same thing. We look for racism. We look for something. And if you white and you say something different about Obama, immediately we say you're racist.
No,
it doesn't matter how
no.
Wait a minute. I got somebody else coming in here. Your
come
prior
in.
Your earlier debate partner.
Go ahead.
Wanting to get in here.
Come on, I knew he was coming.
Caller from the 202. We're talking about Victor Gardner. Victor Gardner, I know you've been listening to the conversation for the last few minutes. I want you to jump in on the conversation right now. Welcome.
Hey, Vic, why you got a 202 number and you in California?
You know what? It's all good. It's all good, Detroit. All right, check this out. I got him to talk about politics. That's all I really care about right now.
He did.
But
you did.
The bottom line is this, guys, and I've listened to you and my cousin go back and forth on
mm-hmm.
a couple of issues. Not a lot, but a couple of issues.
Mm-hmm.
First thing I'm going to say to Mac, and I have some both of Mac, I understand your firsthand experience was all you heard was Muslims say the white man this, white man that. It kind of sounds like the story of Malcolm Luther, better
mm-hmm.
known as Malcolm X.
Right.
Until Malcolm went to Mecca and saw there were different Muslims, not just black ones,
yeah,
and
true.
He was closed-minded
true.
About
true.
Life.
Very
true, true Muslims.
Well, exactly. So, you know, the perception of whomever, whether it's you,
mm-hmm.
Obama, or whoever,
mm-hmm.
about a person and their faith or their
mm-hmm.
belief is theirs, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
That's your opinion of it because that's what
mm-hmm.
you dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
I've dealt with many, many people of different faiths, different backgrounds,
mm-hmm.
people that have never seen a black person in their life until they joined the military.
Mm-hmm.
And they had their perception of them. But
mm-hmm.
I look at people individually, and then I make my decision. I don't look at, I'm not saying you don't, but I don't look at every grouping or what everybody else says. I mean, by all rights, from my friends that have listened to you and stuff like that, only a few of them said, you know, he's got a point. The rest of them said, why the hell are you his friend? Why the hell you got him on your show? I'm like, look, just because it's my show doesn't mean there's not another viewpoint out there. I gotta let his voice be heard because not
mm-hmm.
everybody agrees with what I say and how I feel. There are those out there, just like Bryant Mars, who friended
mm-hmm.
you and loves your show. He agrees
mm-hmm.
with every. You can say your dude who smells like potpourri. Bryant will say Mac is right, but you know that's what it is. And then for my cousin, I agree with what you were saying. There is a tinge of racism in what is going on with Obama. And Matt brought this point up. Why is it that the Democrats are trying to spew hate at Romney now and try to fear people into voting for Obama? I turn
mm-hmm.
that around and say, 8 years or going on 12 years ago,
mm-hmm.
that's the same thing that President Bush did to the United States about Muslims, about anybody. He put the term
mm-hmm.
radical Muslims in front of it, but like
mm-hmm.
you said, Matt, a lot of people don't get everything. A lot of people get parts of something. All
mm-hmm.
a lot of people heard was Muslims. So every
right.
Muslim they saw was a radical. And that's why you can't get that Muslim community center open in New York City near Ground Zero because
right.
so many people are so stuck on, well, Muslims did this, Muslims
right.
did this. No Muslims. Crazy-ass radicals did that. Not the
mm-hmm.
Muslim people. Not these people still pay their taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Even some people that came over here illegally but got jobs still pay taxes and still love America just as much as you and
right.
I do.
Right.
So
right.
what I'm saying is, from what you guys were saying, we can go back to Jeremiah Wright. and talk about Jeremiah Wright. But then let's go back to what the business side of what all these presidents did. Now, I typed this to you, Matt. Not one president since I've known or done my research has stood up and taken on an actual issue of the United States and affected change. All of them have put a Band-Aid on something. Clinton did Don't Ask, Don't Tell. That was his answer to quelling the gays in the military. Bush did, well, you know what? We got to stimulate the economy, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give everybody like $300 during school time so they can go spend that money and stimulate the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And by
mm-hmm.
the way, I'm going to fight in Iraq so I can get jobs created and kill the guy that tried to kill my dad.
Okay.
He said that. He created jobs. They were military jobs. And once the reason, I'm going to give you a secret. And this isn't because I'm representing, I'm going to say this right now. I am not representing the military when I say this. I don't care who tries to pull me up on it. I'm not. That was economic stimulus for President Bush. Keeping the war going on because you kept people employed. When you don't have a war, you have to cut back. You cut back by cutting those contracts. You let people go. Right now, the military is weeding out every individual, no matter how long you've been in, as far as cutting people out of jobs. Because they're saying, look, right now, we're in a budget crisis. By 2014, we got to have X amount of people in the military. So if you've ever done a DUI or whatever case may be, and you're looking to reenlist, we're not going to let you reenlist. I mean, it's just the reality of it. It's not about him, her, he said, she said. It's about bringing something new to the table. Obama said, I mean, the country, the world has said, we have a problem with our health care plan. Even Republicans for years have been saying, I'm tired of paying for these people going to the hospital, and I got to pay for them. And Clinton said the same thing. Clinton, Bush Sr., Reagan, all we're tired of paying for it. But as soon as you do bring up a plan, bring the plan to put that forth to say, I'm not paying for these people no more, and you're not going to pay for them no more, what we get is, oh, well, you're going to tax so many people to get it, but it's crazy, and it's socialism. But this is what people have been calling for years. Again, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not talking for the military. Bush could not get rid of Bin Laden or his deck of cards. The dude comes in within the first 3 years, or 2 years, I should say, 2.5 years, gets rid of half of the deck, and then gets the goddamn ace. But yet, he's done nothing. He's done no change. You know what change that brought? It brought a sense of calmness to America and resolved a lot of fears of this guy striking again and his terror cell. That's a change of effectiveness. It doesn't change the fact that a lot of people still think that we're going to be bombed and we got to have this, that, and the third, because there are crazies out there. But he went out and got
Yeah, we found that out in the last 3 weeks.
And then, here's I sent it to y'all, know how much you read into it, but the freaking, I hate Fox, dude. Fox needs to be brought up on homicide charges. If you haven't heard, Fox News, I'm going to tell you why.
If you haven't heard,
one of the guys that actually supposedly the second man in the door to kill Bin Laden, he went out on 60 Minutes. This guy,
every outlet,
except for Fox, kept his identity a secret. Fox revealed it. He is now a marked man by the terrorists and, more importantly, by the United States.
Yeah, they own him hard.
By his own people. So you can't tell me, something about being fair and balanced and being truthful and being taken care of, because it doesn't happen on that side. It just doesn't, man. If I see that guy, I'm like, hey, dude, keep walking. Just keep walking. Because he told the truth. And everybody except for one organization, which is very slanted, put this guy out there to dry. I mean, that's some BS. And I'm sorry, but that's where I feel. And I turn it back.
I'm good with that. I respect what you say. I don't have a problem with what you said. You know, but you know, I'm probably going to say some things that you might not like. But one of the things I will say is this. I don't have a problem with the stuff. The whole thing about the bombing, the war, Bush and the war, and all that, I can't go there in that because I have no proof of that. I don't believe it because I don't see nothing, no official documents from somewhere, no top secret saying that we took planes and rolled them into there. I don't have proof that Bush. I'm just saying. I'm a person. Let me tell you how I am. I'm a type of person that I'm a very skeptical person. I don't believe stuff unless I see it. If I see it in the print, you know, like I tell the people all the time, my faith is for God. It ain't for man. It ain't. Because all my life I've been told a whole bunch of stuff by a whole bunch of people to push a certain agenda. And if you don't, and for me, I always learned and was always taught by my mother, when it come down to when somebody tell you something, prove it. If they can't prove it, then you don't believe it till you see proof. Because unlike some other people, I have people that are military in my family. And those same people have told me things, and then I come out later, and it's not what it was. But they were pushing an agenda. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying to you is this. Nobody's perfect. There is no network that gives it all, and you know, whatever. But I will say this, and this is what I say. Everything that's been said on TV, I don't take it for gospel. Because number one thing I tell people all the time, and I tell my family this, and I tell people in my family, stop listening to MSNBC. Stop listening to even Fox. If you don't believe, if they say what they say, go research it and find it out if it's a fact for yourself. We have a plethora of information on the Internet. Not saying that everything on the Internet is true, but when I go to CBO.com, which is Congressional Budget Office, and it's on there, and I see the statistics, when I go to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and it says that, that's proof. What somebody tells me, what a guy tells me on a TV screen don't mean nothing. Because what people don't realize, and I say this, and this is the reason why I stopped debating people pretty much. You got me to do it today, but I pretty much don't do it anymore. No, and I knew what Vic was doing. But only because I respect Vic and because Vic comes at it civilly and not angrily or calling names, I'll engage. Even though sometimes I don't feel like it. But then after I do it, I feel better, but I feel like, okay, I feel better that I can debate with a black man and it not turn into, well, you a fucking coon. Come on, man, really? That's what I got to be because I don't like your guy? That's crazy.
I got you, bro.
So what I'm saying to you is, but here's my thing. My thing is this. If it ain't no, but here's one thing I will say. When Fox says something and they put on their source, I go look up that source. Especially when it's .org or it has something to do with the government, I go look it up. I go find it, or I find out what it is. If it's an article, I read that article, but I read a lot of other articles with it. And then I go find something official that says it says this, 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 and this, or what have you. If somebody says a bill says something, I'm going to go look for the bill. Even if it's 3,000 pages, I'm going to look. I can skim through it. I can't read every bit of it, but I'm going to skim through and try to find out certain things. Or I'm going to look at the contents of the bill, because usually they have a content page, and I'm going to go find out what it says. But what I'm saying is the thing that's pissing me off is that we as black people are sitting here calling people names and saying things and saying people said this, people said that, and half the people that are saying it are repeating what the media is telling them. And what I keep trying to tell black people is that you're listening to, for example, Al Sharpton can tell you anything, okay? Them guys, MSNBC can tell you anything. But what people don't realize is those people don't care nothing about you sitting on the couch. All they care about is getting you to believe their agenda, to push their agenda and be their minion so you can go out and tell 50 other people about the same thing and y'all all get together and you start believing it instead of you being enlightened and going research and find out. You know what? What Al Sharpton says isn't true. You know what? Paul Ryan's plan does not cut old people off Medicare. It doesn't throw people off Medicare. Why? Because I read it. 55 and over stays the same. The people who are under 55, that it does change. So when I hear somebody sit on MSNBC and say, yeah, you know, they're throwing seniors off. This is just ridiculous. If I sat there and listened to that and didn't do no research, I'd sit up there and be like, yeah, that's horrible. Just throw my grandmother off that. I believe the same thing. And what people don't realize, and this is a word that black people need to understand because very few use it, it's called propaganda. Go down to anybody want to know anything about propaganda?
No,
anybody want to know anything about propaganda?
We don't know
anything
about propaganda
because
all we got to do is look at Fox. They've been propaganda.
But let's keep it real. I like that, but let's keep it real, though. Let's keep it real. You could, like I told you, and Victor's going to tell you I told him this. You could put a freaking monkey. You could put the cutest kid in the world against Obama, and not one Democrat would like him. You guys say, the people say things about this guy, Romney, as if there's a better choice. It don't matter who the choice is. If he's a Republican, y'all going to hate him anyway. But y'all keep talking about this guy like there's
true.
A better person. Yes,
that's
you
not
do.
True.
Yes,
that's
y'all
not
do,
true.
Man. Who,
that's
okay,
not true. Because
who, okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
No,
let me ask you a question.
Because
okay,
I happen,
let me ask this question. Let me ask
I happen
this question.
To like, who, I happen to like the Republican what? Governor from New Jersey. I happen to like that dude.
Oh, you like Christie?
You like Christie?
Well,
yeah,
thank
yeah
you, thank
I like
you.
Her.
Go ahead and tell him. You like Christie? You like Christie, Vic?
I don't.
Thank you. That's
like
what I'm trying
to say. The only reason I like him is because he's a straight shooter.
But it wouldn't
he
matter because
shooter.
If he was a because everybody else is a, because there are other politicians who are straight shooters who are Republicans. But you know what you guys say? He's lying. And then when I say
well, no.
people prove it, guess what they say?
No,
no,
no, no, no,
say
no.
Say
no. If I was to call out a Republican, congressman or senator or presidential hopeful,
mm-hmm.
I was supported with facts. You know what I mean? I mean, the fact of the matter is, I mean, Mr. Romney has flipped so many different times, I don't even know where he stands.
Let me ask you something.
I don't even know where he stands or anything.
What politician do you know doesn't flip? Tell me one.
All right, look.
There's not that many,
I'm
but
waiting.
at the end of the day, you should have an understanding of where his agenda is or what his principles are or what he's going to do and what he's not going to do.
Okay,
I look at Mr. Romney and I don't see anything.
Let me clarify for you what I see. And then you can, and I know you, and I know this won't change.
No,
your mind.
You don't have
I know
to clarify. You don't have to clarify.
But let me say what it
position.
Is. If it's real simple, if I know that a guy, for most of his life, has built his own business, he's gone and taken over companies that were bad. That means their finances were screwed. They weren't running right. It wasn't run right. It was whack. And all he did for the last whatever years he did it for, I can't remember off the top of my head. Went in, took over companies, put money into them, straightened them out, hire, fire, do whatever, straighten it out, and becomes a profitable company. Here's my point. Why would I be against a guy who's done major, not millions, not a couple hundred thousand, I'm talking about millions and billions of dollars worth of business, taking over Olympics, which is a $1 billion thing in the first place, and he's fixed it, turned it profitable. Not to say every business that he's turned around or every business has been successful, because I'm pretty sure he failed a lot of times. That's business, period. That's free market enterprise.
Yeah.
But the simple fact of the matter is, why would I not, in my head, think that this guy, now all of a sudden, oh, well, it's the American economy. That's a different thing.
Running a business is a lot different than running a government.
And you got a guy in there right now who hasn't run a lemonade stand. So why would I want to put a guy in there who knows something?
Mr. Romney was the governor of Massachusetts. I don't see where he created any jobs or improved the economy of the state of Massachusetts.
I don't have the proof on that. People, a lot of people who are prominent have said that he did, and people who lived in that state have said that he did, and he did a good job. Now, there are going to be those who are going to say he didn't. So I'm fine. I'm not going to fight you on that because I haven't seen that. But here's what I do know. I do know that there are a lot of successful businesses around now that he has built and are still standing today.
And he has.
So why would I not want to take a guy with that kind of experience and give him a chance?
Because.
I didn't say he's
going
to be good.
Can I jump in? Please let me jump in.
Go ahead.
I'm going to explain why. In my opinion, of course.
Because he got money overseas.
That has nothing to do with it.
Because he put his dog on the roof.
What I should do. here's what it has to do with, deal with, for real. Okay? He can take all these businesses and change them and bring them around. He can be a corporate raider and turn a small, fledgling, dying business into something big, which is great. That's a great thing. He built his life and generational money off of that. Great. But when you're in control of the most powerful country in the world, you just can't rest on what you think. You have to take in consideration of everything and everybody else. You can't make policy solely based on how you think things should go. Yes,
right.
as you said earlier, what politician has always stuck to what they believe in? And I'm going to tell you, Romney has been a flip-flopper because it fit his need. So he's
so is Obama.
Listen, what I'm saying is he did what he had to do to get what he needed done. Most politicians do that. However, mm-hmm. when you become the president of the United mm-hmm. States, you don't go over to other nations
mm-hmm.
and publicly denounce another nation just because you are trying to get the favor of that nation. You don't say in America, oh, the president is screwing over one of our allies to the people, knowing this is going overseas to other nations, and then go to that same nation and then
mm-hmm.
say, well, I support the president and his things, but I think this needs to be done. You don't do that type of stuff. That's protecting his own interests, not the interests of the United States. Now, Ryan, he's a young cat. I like his vision. However, I think that, you know, he's bought into the Reaganomics, and we talked about this on the thing. Reaganomics didn't work 30 years ago, my friend. It's not going to work now. It might have worked in the neighborhoods where people had jobs, and I told you, me and my cousin, we went to the same Catholic school. He was able to graduate from that Catholic school because his
mm-hmm.
mom, she kept her job, and
mm-hmm.
she was able to put him through.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my sister were in the same class. I can finish that school, and I told you why in
mm-hmm.
in the text messages, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
my culture shock came when I had to leave my private school and go
mm-hmm.
to public school.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the vast difference in
yeah.
educational quality
and, so
and money.
I did
and
the same
I,
thing
I,
you
I got,
did.
I got you, brother. I got you. But growing up in D.C., where the president lives and he makes policy, you would think, okay, maybe he's going to throw some money into the school system. No, we used outdated books. We were getting subpar education in subpar buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So
mm-hmm.
I'm not laying it all on Reagan. I'm not laying it all on Bush Sr. Because Clinton, he bent a lot, but he got stuff done. And I was talking to a buddy of mine. He was saying that we can thank President Reagan for all of the technology we have now because he was the reason why we had the Star Wars project. Which is partly true. However, President Reagan didn't invent the internet. He didn't invent e-commerce. Neither did Bush Sr. Clinton
didn't build
do it either. What I'm saying is, okay, Star Wars, that was
mm-hmm.
supposed to be for a nuclear strike. That's supposed
right.
to be our way of tapping into that stuff.
Right.
Now,
right.
now
right.
it became the avenue in which we all use today called the internet, but no
right.
one had that vision.
Right.
No one had that vision at that time in that 12 years.
Absolutely.
Bill Gates, IBM, and all those other folks, they jumped in and said, oh, they're doing this stuff? Why can't we turn this into a profit? Why can't we do this? So I
right.
would say the plans were laid, but e-commerce,
mm-hmm.
e-commerce did not come in those 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
E-commerce came in the next 8 years. Okay, so when we look at what Obama has done, Reagan, Bush
mm-hmm.
Sr., Clinton, and Bush Jr., and we just look at that, we don't even want to look at Jimmy Carter, because I guess Jimmy Carter caused a huge depression. Got it. He was out. He was done. But at the same time, you look at the past 30 years, Reagan, now, you can't tell me it took, what, 12 years, so 8 years of Reagan, 4 of Bush Sr., and then
mm-hmm.
Clinton comes in. So you're telling me it took 13 years for Reaganomics to actually finally work when Clinton was in office, and then
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden all of a sudden, once Clinton leaves, the economy goes to crap, and Reaganomics doesn't work anymore, and then the system that's in place is so bad that Bush has to deregulate, and then we get in a worse situation, and then Obama comes in. Yeah, he added $5 trillion to the deficit that we went from a surplus. We were in a surplus, and Bush put it in $10 trillion in deficit, so he added five more. I got it. I got the numbers. But you can't tell me, you can't sit there and tell me that your boy, not your boy, that Romney, who's a corporate raider, okay, who has the ability to do this now, to change small business, failing business into successful business, can fix the world economy, which...
I never said the word fix.
I know. But remember, America, what happens in America affects the world.
Right.
Okay? What happens? And so when we were going through our crap, Europe went to their crap. Europe's going through their biggest crap right now. Right? So when and if Romney were to become president, and you're saying he can give him a chance to fix this issue,
try to see if he can improve. I never said, because if that's the case, then I can't hold Obama to the same standard, because I can't expect him to fix anything. Fix means it's done. That wouldn't be fair to Obama, be fair to say that.
But my friend, your boy Ryan, that's what he was pointing at in his speech, and that's what your boy Ronnie was saying. We're going to fix it. We can fix it. That's what they kept saying their entire speech. We will fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So you might not say it, but the candidates are saying it. So you are you not? I mean, that's what they're saying. They're saying they're
you
going
can fix,
to fix it.
Yeah, you can fix.
That's
you can fix.
Saying.
You can fix jobs. You can fix jobs. You can fix gas prices. You can fix that. It's fine. There's a way to do it. It can be done. But as far as deficit, as far as the spending and all that stuff, you can fix it. But what I'm saying is, this is a lot of money and a lot of years worth of piled up stuff. So it's not going to happen overnight. But how you begin to try to fix it is
wow,
by saying.
That sounds similar. I can't remember where I heard those words before.
Right.
Heard what before?
I hear where he's going
with it. But what I'm saying to you is that I'm gonna make it simple, because a lot of stuff you talking about is you know, some of it I know about because I've been around long enough. But I have my feelings about that too. But because I don't want to go into a whole nother debate in another country, I'm not gonna do that. All I'm gonna say is this. All I care about right now, and I know what your point was today, and I didn't want it to sound selfish, but there's a balance. There's a balance where I have to care about the country, but I have to care about my family too and my daughter. And what I'm saying to you is this. I break it down really simple like this. I gave this guy 4 years. I didn't vote for him, no. But I gave him the chance to sat back and see what he's done. And right now, when I go down the list of things that he's done, I can't find nothing but maybe one or two, maybe three. And the rest of it is this economy, everything is worse than what it was when he took over. And when you spend $787 trillion to say, and you tell me we're not going above 9, and we was at, what, 6, and now we at 8? We were over 9, now we at 8.2. And all these people out of work, gas prices high as hell, groceries high as hell, you know, but all these things are going on. At some point, you can't blame the dude from 4 years ago, because you volunteered for the job that says you could fix it. You know, and my frustration is this. I don't think Obama's a bad guy. I know Obama wants to help people. You can't be a community organizer. You can't be a guy who worked in the community, done the stuff he's done, and not want to help people. You just can't do it. You can't fake it for that long. You can't do that. I understand that. But the fact of the matter is this. I'm at this point, I know what, you know, it's like a wife. I've been with her for 20 years. I know what I'm getting. 5 years, I know what I'm getting. Okay, I don't know what this woman over here getting, but I know what I'm getting with this one, and I know if I stay with her another 10 years, I'm going to put my hands on her. So I need to get this person up out of here, and I need to go give this other chick a chance and see what she's doing based on her experience, based on her credentials. So what I'm saying to you is this, plain and simple. I hear what everybody's saying about Romney, but here's what makes sense to me. Why, if we give a chance to a guy who hasn't never even done a lemonade stand as a kid, never sold anything, never worked in any kind of business, a governor, no experience, and this country gave him that chance, I don't have a problem with that chance. Happy we had the first black president? Great. Good. I'm glad for that. He hasn't, but when I look at the results, there's some shit. I'm sorry to say it. So what I'm saying is I want to give this other guy a chance to screw it up like all the other 44 did. Because let's be honest, I would rather give a chance to a guy who's had an experience of a business experience of dealing with big numbers and big deficits and big things and trying to fix them or do whatever he does with a team of people, because I know he wasn't the only one at Bain Capital, and he wasn't the only one making the decisions. He, you know, because the Bible says in a group of people there's wisdom. In a group of counselors there's wisdom. So I know he did that, or not by himself, but he's pretty damn smart. So what I'm saying is if he did this, give him a chance. That's all I'm saying. I could care less. Here's my thing. I could care less what he's done. I could care less about the tax returns. I care less about the money in the Caymans. I care less about all that shit. All I care about is my daughter getting a job when she comes out and this economy being better and me being able to pay for gas and it not be over $70 freaking. I'm tired of that. I remember when it was $40.
My question is this. I heard what you say. You want to bring this guy in and give him a chance. But do you want to give him a chance and possibly turn the economy around on the back of the less fortunate? Let me put it that way.
I'll answer that question. I'm glad you asked that question. The question is this. It's going to be, if we do it, I don't know where everybody got this false facade, because to me, I think it's a false facade. Is that here's my belief, and people probably won't like this either. I want to be rich one day. I'm working as hard as I can to get there. And I know when I get there, I don't hate anybody for getting something. But when you say it's on the backs of poor people, let's keep it real. I'm going to say something that's not popular. Everybody who's poor, according to my Bible, everybody who's poor, they're always going to be poor. Some people are poor, not of their own volition. But in this day and age, when I see people walking around who are poor, and I see they're able-bodied, and they sit at home and getting a check, and they're able-bodied, and they're getting EBT cards, this is what I see every day. Okay, this is what I see every day, all the time. I see people living out here in Waldorf with a car, Mercedes-Benz, and got EBT cards, getting a welfare check, getting a disability check, and they're perfectly fine. What I'm saying, my wife works in the nursing industry. I know how Medicaid and Medicare works. There's rampant fraud and abuse. But if you say that to left-wing people, they say, oh, no, that's not true. Yes, it is. But here's the thing. We need to, and here's the problem. But as soon as somebody says we're going to touch Medicaid and Medicare, as soon as we say we're going to touch Social Security, as soon as we say we're going to cut welfare, as soon as we say we're going to cut food stamps, as soon as we say we're going to cut out all the free stuff, all the people get mad and say, well, what about the poor people? We ain't talking about poor people. What we talking about, what I'm talking about is getting these people out of here that's able-bodied and can get it. And there's more. And to be honest with you, when there's 51% of the people in this country, that's the CBO statistics, and that's in the Bureau of Statistics too, that 51% of the country is getting a government check, and that's never happened before, there's some bullshit in there. There is. But nobody wants to fix that. Nobody wants us to cut that.
Because
starts hollering, the poor. You're going to hear the poor.
I don't think that's what we hollering. We hollering.
But that's what the Democrats hollering.
Let me inform you what the battling cry is. You know what I'm saying? The battling cry is this. You know, I've worked 20-some-odd years for the federal government, and it seems that over the past 10 years, I've been working harder, and my income has not been increasing. Mm-hmm. You know, I put my money in different investments, and it seems like those investments keep dwindling down. But back to this Romney thing, the reason why I don't foresee to give him a chance is because, you know, the main thing that he's flip-flopped on, and, you know, his decision, it highly indicates his decision-making. You know, he was the governor that put forth this this health care package in Massachusetts,
mm-hmm.
and by all accounts, it's working. You know, so it should be something that he would tout, but
mm-hmm.
he's not touting it. He's against
Why would I?
But at the same time, it was something.
That's a state thing. That's not a nationwide thing. I don't want to pay for your health insurance. I don't want to pay for a guy who won't get up off his ass and go get some health insurance and go get a damn job.
Well, I don't want to do it because
everybody who doesn't have health insurance is not able-bodied and working and all poor as me. Let me say this to you. The one thing, and I'm going to say this honestly, the one thing Obama has done good for me, I'll tell you what it is. The one thing he did good for me. You know what he did for good for me? He fucked this economy up so bad that I didn't have a job in over a year. And you know what it did? It forced me to be creative and get up and bootstrap it. It forced me to get up off my ass and go find a job. It forced me to get up and go get an insurance license and get up and go create my own job. And you know what? I don't want a job anymore. I don't want a nine to five anymore. Now I want to do it myself. That's
the truth. I can't sit back and not really address some of the tones that you're saying and what you're saying, because there are a lot of working poor people that work their ass off. And the thing about it is, they're working harder. Hold on. You had plenty of time to say what you had to say.
They're working harder.
They're working their ass off, and the money is not increasing with the work that they're putting out. It's not adding up. There's a vast majority of people that don't have no problem in getting up off their ass and doing what they need to do.
And I'm not going to let you cast me in a certain light. I'm not going to let you do that on my show. Let me tell you what you're saying. I said people who are able-bodied, lazy, shiftless, and not working. I didn't say anything about people who are working.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. People who are getting up every day, I have a problem with them.
I'm talking about people who have a problem with them because you're labeling them as one whole group.
When you put that lazy thing in there, you lumping me along in there with them, and I'm not in there. And I'm gonna tell you, there's millions of people that are looking for a handout.
Do you work?
What I was saying about Romney.
It highly indicates his decision making.
Like I said, you know what I mean?
Lazy people who don't get up and go to work are lazy people, and that's the group I'm talking about. You don't like it? Too bad. This is no chaser, and I'm putting it out there like that. So don't cast me like I don't like people who get up every day and go to work and bust their ass to go feed their families. I didn't say that. I said people who don't work, who are lazy and want a free check and still want to do that.
I don't hear the battling cry for them, because that is who's making this battling cry. That is who is making this voice. That's the ones who are challenging Romney. Those are the people who want to help. It is not that lazy person that doesn't care, because they don't care. You know what I'm saying? We all understand that. But they're not taking our tax money, right?
So when they're getting food stamps, who's paying for that? All of us. When they're getting Medicaid, Medicare, when they're getting the welfare check and they're able-bodied, who's paying for that? They're not paying for it. Matt, I mean, we can go round and round about it all day.
As the things that I've seen, the working poor just becoming more working poor. I've seen more working poor people standing at the food banks right there every day, and I work every day.
I don't have a problem with that. Hold on, Slim.
And I've started my own business to make my own money, and I was at the food bank, Slim. So don't tell me, don't
take that little bit of them, the food stamps and the check that they get or the disability they get by fraudulent means and spend it and use it, and they're satisfied with that. They are lazy, and there are a lot of them like that. There aren't just 100. There are millions. And that's why I'm saying that's why we are saying that's why we're in the position that we're in, because nobody will ever touch it, because all of that stuff, the entitlement,
are sacred cows.
Yes,
no,
they are. Nobody wants to touch
we,
it because
as
soon as you go to touch it, because as soon as you go to touch it,
position.
The Democrats sit and holler, they're going to end they're going to cut you off. Obama just said it today. They want to take you off entitlement. They want you to have air, dirty air and water. They don't want you to do it. They don't want you to touch
We are not in the position that we are in right now because of some youngin that's foolish and brainless and playing with the system like that. We are in the position. Hold on. We are no, Slim. We are in the position of where we are now because of the same things that they're talking about, deregulation and all the corporate welfare that was going on, you know what I'm saying, a few years ago when we paid $715 billion to bail these jokers out so that we can at least use our daggone ATM cards and credit cards and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? So So why not take care of these people out here that's struggling their ass off? So
they just did.
The thing that I'm saying to you is when you cast that light over the and make that, you know, that argument just like Reagan did back in the day, the welfare queens and all like that, you're doing nothing but taking and casting a light on the working class and the working poor as well. You're doing that.
We're not saying the same thing. He keeps using the word working. I'm not talking about working. That's right. That's what he keeps saying. He keeps saying working class. I never said working class. I did not say working class. I know you didn't. Because my mother is part of that working class that was a single family that didn't have a check.
What I'm saying to you is this smacks of the Reagan era. This is the same thing rehashed over. You know, you jump on and hop on a small sector that's indefensible, then you get a policy that applies and affects the working poor as well. See, you got to understand what you're saying and how you're playing the game, Slim. I understand what you're saying, and I don't like it as well. But at the same time, if I'm standing in the line next to, you know, somebody else that we just got off work and we coming up to the food bank, I mean, really? Come on, man.
Right.
And then at the same time, both of us paying something like 30 to 35% in taxes, and then you got somebody up here on the 1% chilling? Off 13? Really? I'm supposed to be cool with that? Just like you don't want to pay for them
dudes that ain't working like that.
I don't want to sit up here and bail out these jokers over and over again.
I agree with you.
Screwing us over and over and over again.
I agree with you. That what you just said is just what I illustrated to somebody the other day about the Bible. People kept saying the Bible doesn't speak about business. I said, yes, it does. I said, according to the Bible, when people are deviant, they don't run their company right, and they run it in the ground, they should fail. We should not bail them out. We should not give them money to help them. God is not a person who says, oh, you screwed it up. Here, give me some more money, son, to do that. It's not like that. There are many stories, many things in there to illustrate that. So I agree with you. I think I'm from Michigan, born and raised, but the auto companies should have went to hell. They should have. I know a lot of people who live in my city would cuss me out. My family would probably cuss me out. But the fact is they should have failed. We shouldn't have bailed them out. Why? They chose to run in there. They chose to let the unions for years run. And I know about unions, trust me. Growing up in Michigan, having people in the auto industry, I know about unions. Unions are suckers. They suck the life out of a business until it ain't got no more money with these outrageous benefits and all this other stuff is too much. It's overboard. So what I'm saying to you is, if they let the UAW all those years run them in the ground and make all those outrageous promises and put away all that money and do all that stuff, and they fail, they should have went away. They should have went away. They should have went away. They should have been gone. Bye, holla. I don't think nobody should have got bailed out. The banks fail. Guess what? That's how you get opportunity. That's how opportunities for other people, small businesses, small banks, that's how other people get to step up and step into the next slot and come up. I agree with you on
that. I mean, on the 1%, it really wouldn't have hurt them. But we would have been hurting if we didn't put that $700 billion in. We would have just let them fail. We would have hurt.
But that $757 billion that Obama gave was not the bailout. The bailout was already given when Bush was in it. The $757 was given by Obama to say that if we did this, his promise was if we do this, we won't go over 9% unemployment. This will help stabilize everything, but it didn't. Fine. He tried. He did it. I don't have a problem with that. It didn't work. Fine. But that wasn't a bailout. That wasn't the bailout. The bailout was before that. So what I'm saying to you is it should have been gone. They should have been gone and gone away. My whole thing is this. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say basically you're saying you did the same thing expecting a different result. So the definition of crazy. So Bush was crazy enough to give him the first bailout. Then Obama was crazy enough to say, well, it didn't work the first time. Let's see if it works this time. Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm not saying that. I was just pointing out the fact that the $757 that Obama gave was not part of the bailout. The bailout was already given when Bush was in.
Correct.
I was agreeing with him. I was just, because I think he was associating that the $757 with that, and I was like, no, that had nothing to do with the bailout. Obama didn't bail nobody out. All Obama did was throw money to try to stimulate the economy, and it didn't happen. But
right.
he didn't bail out any business. That was my only point, was I was just saying no, because I was being fair, saying no, he didn't have nothing to do with the bailouts. But I'm saying as a person, if you don't run a business right, your business fails. That's anything. That's common sense. You know, and that's what we should have did. We shouldn't have helped him out. And he was saying, well, we would have been hurt. But what I'm saying is that's short-term pain for long-term gain. We shouldn't have bailed him out because that's how we ran up these deficits, bailing people out, that we shouldn't have. That's what really hurt us. But all I'm saying to you is this. I want to give a guy a chance just like we gave Obama a chance. Because I've already seen what he got. I already seen what he's going to do. I see what he believes. I see where he's going. Do I believe he's trying to hurt us? Do he trying to hurt people? No. I believe he's for the middle class. I believe he's for the poor. I really do. I just don't like his policies and the way he goes about instituting and helping them because it's not working. It's not. It's just not because the stats pick it up. The high gas, the high unemployment. You can't argue that. Nobody can say that's a mirage. Nobody can say nobody went and made that up. That is what it is. So what I'm saying is give another guy a chance. This guy had no experience. This guy does. Let's see what he does. I know what you're saying about, well, it's going to be Reaganomics, it's going to be this, it's going to be based on what they do, da-da-da-da-da. Fine. What else we got? Because if we go another 4 years with it as it is,
I'm not taking that theory.
But you're taking the theory that if the other guy gets in, you're giving me the same fears. So if I say, well, I know what this is going to be worse, you're telling me, well, if that guy gets in, he's going to make it worse. So I'm saying, so you know what, at this point, I already danced with this one.
Mac, I follow you got a dance card, and you already checked off this one dance, and you ain't like the way you dance, you want to go to a new one. I got you. But I want to say one thing before Michael jumps in there and says what he says. I want to say this about gas. The reason why gas is going up is because not a lot of people are using gas.
Mm-hmm.
It's supply and demand. They're moving more toward the electric and hybrid cars, which is good for our economy because we are the leaders in this type of vehicle, and it makes us less dependent on crude oil. So we can say all day we're tired of the high gas prices.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, go get a Prius. a Prius might not be the prettiest thing in the world, but it gets your daggone gas mileage.
No, why don't we tap into all the oil on this country that we're sitting on in our own damn country?
But that's what I'm saying.
But we keep acquiescing to.
You're right.
To the environment people, and we won't tell them screw you. We're trying to become energy independent. I don't mind wind, solar, and other stuff. Fine, if it supplies us and does it, hey, I'm good with that. I'm not beyond all that. But we should still use our coal and our gas, and we should use the coal and the gas that we have right here on our own country. But
you're
we
right,
can't
right.
Because every time we do, the environmental people come up and say, oh, no, you're going to kill everybody. You're going to hurt them.
But, Mac, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, though, about that. That's exactly what I'm saying. If America is the leading country in creating these green cars or green transportation, there will be a less dependent need on us drilling for oil, getting coal. The EPA will then have to back off. The EPA won't have a reason to yell. We will drive our own market. We will make us we already are the leader, but it pushes across the sea, and we are the dominant leader in car manufacturing. Not Nissan, not Toyota, and not any German made vehicle. That's my point in saying it. That's the only point I had in what you're saying as far as the gas thing goes. I studied it. I wanted to offer. When I came back, first thing I wanted to go do was look at a Prius.
But let me ask you this question. But Vic,
sure.
if we started drilling our own oil on our own lands and our coal, would that have an impact on making it also less? I'm asking because we would be independent of everybody else's gas, right?
I said you're right on that. However, if Americans buy into the American-made vehicle, which is less dependent on fuel, there'll be a lesser need for us to drill and stuff like that. I'm not saying don't drill it at home and stuff like that because it's cheaper. But
I'm just saying use everything. Why don't we use that? I'm saying I agree with you, but I'm saying I'll drive a Prius if I choose to drive a Prius. But if I choose to drive a gas car, why can't we dig our own gas in our own country and take it out and tap our own? Then we're not buying from overseas.
We're drilling more on our own now than we've ever done ever in history. So
really?
Yeah, we are actually.
Yeah,
okay.
Really.
We are.
But we are.
But the reason why that it stopped was because right after Obama was elected, I mean it didn't stop, but it slowed down was because remember the drill baby drill thing that Caitlin and Witchface went through. Okay, then Obama said, you know what? I'm gonna acquiesce to you. We're gonna drill. So shortly after he was elected, what happened in the Gulf Coast region? One of the oil drills blew up.
And
that brought out all those Republicans saying who were saying drill baby drill. They said, so why did he allow this to happen? What regulation failed? They were
talking about the economy that it damaged down there in the Gulf.
Right.
Yeah, because first they were like, yeah, let's drill, and then it became, what happened to the regulations? But they want deregulation, though, right? And why? Well, what are you doing to clean it up?
Oh,
but you want EPA gone.
Let me ask you a question. But who was the company that screwed that whole thing up out there in the Gulf? What was the name?
BP. It wasn't American owned.
Yeah, it was.
Thank you.
It was BP.
So we go back to my point of why we don't drill on our own ourselves. British Petroleum.
Oh, you mean that's American companies? American companies. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, I'm
American
talking about our own thing. I'm saying why don't we do our own thing? I understand what y'all are saying.
Bush owns most of the drills in America, so you got to talk to his daddy.
But he ain't
owns most
one,
of them.
Man. Come on, man. We don't do that. We can drill. He ain't the only one with a drill bit.
I mean, we can
drill. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is, when your cousin says they drilling more than they ever have, yeah, but it's slow. It ain't happening like that. All I'm saying to you is that the regulations that Obama put in place that have slowed it down, that we can't drill, we need to get those removed and start drilling. I'm not against using Prius.
So we can
have
some more spills, right?
You do.
Yeah.
I understand what he's saying about spills, but that's anything, any accident can happen. I mean, you running that with nuclear plants. We should never have nuclear plants. I mean, that's going to happen. Spills and accidents are going to happen. But at what point do we say, no, we're not going to do it? At what time do we stay a slave to our other people? You know, the Bible says that the slave is enslaved to the master. If we stop and we free ourselves from the master, which is all them people over there in the other countries that's selling us oil, and we start drilling our own, we get free. We start producing our own. That's all I'm saying.
I feel you on that part, but the crux of your school of thought is just really disturbing to me, because I think right now we're at a good balance. We're not drilling as much as we could.
Right.
I agree with you there, but we're drilling way more than we have in the past, and those regulations are needed. They're very much needed, because we've seen what happens when nobody's has their eyes on the store.
Well, let's be honest. Government don't run nothing right now. They don't keep their eyes on too much of nothing anyway. They start something, then it just goes awry and it goes amok, and then it becomes, then it goes into the red or whatever, because government wasn't really meant to run stuff anyway. So I agree with you on that, is that, yeah, we are doing more, but all I'm saying to you is this. Let me say this, and I'm going to be brutally honest. My school of thought disturbs you, because my school of thought is, I was raised, even though I was in the inner city, I was raised by a single black mother. My mother didn't have the same values as most mothers do. My mother taught me how to speak proper English. My mother believed in using big words. My mother believed in telling me different things and showing me, pull out a word every day out of this box.
Let me finish,
because I'm just telling you, I'm trying to tell you the basis of where I come from. Okay?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, I was never, when I came home and said I didn't have something, my mother told me you had to earn it. My mother taught me how to bootstrap. My mother never told me to take, my mother never took a dime of public assistance. Never in her life. Never. She worked 22 years at one hospital all my life and worked. And she still worked. And still to this day, at 60-something years old, has never taken welfare or whatever. Blessed? Yes, she's blessed. Woman of God, yes, and God has taken care of. I've watched miraculous things happen for my mother. But what I'm saying is, the one thing that my mother taught me is that when the crap hits the fan and you ain't got nothing else, you face it, you pray about it, and then you either get God, either God will tell you how to do it, or you go do it, you bootstrap it. I've never been a person who believed in getting assistance. I'm a prideful person. I don't believe in assistance. I remember a point. 6 years ago, where I was in an apartment, lost my job, and was sitting there, and I told the Lord, Lord, if you don't get me out of this, I have no money. I had this. I'm about 5 or 6 or 7 days away from eviction, and you know what I determined? If I got to go in a homeless shelter, I go. I'll take all my stuff and give it to my sister, and I'll just go live in that shelter until you do something, Lord, until I figure something out. But I wasn't going to take no assistance. My mother raised me that way. My mother raised me never say die, never say quit. You know, I've had life throw me a lot of stuff, but I haven't had half the stuff these people out here have had. But the one thing I've always had is I've always had an intense pride, and I don't want nothing from the government. I don't want nothing from nobody. I was taught that way. I believe that everybody can get out of this situation. I believe that everybody, if you really want it bad enough and you're hungry enough for it, can get it. I believe that. Now, most people don't. Some people make excuses. I've never been that person to make that excuse because I was never given that chance. My mother never raised me to make excuse. When I made an excuse, it was either slap in the face or pop in the mouth or shut up. You ain't making no excuse. Figure it out. Do it. That's how my mother raised me. That's how my family was raised. I come from that kind of family. So I'm in the inner city. So I saw things that a lot of you people living in the inner city, a lot of things you've seen. But the difference is I never accepted it. I always believed I always looked at myself honestly. My mother always made me, when I came to her with excuse when I was grown, even now, if I come to her now and say, Mom, woe is me, this is wrong, it could be reality. You know what my mother say? Okay, so what did God tell you to do? I ain't really pray about it. Have you done everything you're supposed to? Have you done everything you can possibly do to change that situation or get out of that situation? And you know what's funny? Every time I went to my mother, I don't know, countless times in my life, you know what I realized, what my mother taught me eventually, is that I never did everything to really figure it out, because somewhere along the way, I decided to quit. somewhere along the way, I decided to be lazy and say, man, I'm just going to cry about it and see what I can do and cry to somebody. But my mother never let me do that. So if my that's the crux of my thinking. So because of my life experience, what I've been through, what I've gone through, what I've overcome, okay, because I don't have no horrible story of a drunk father beating me up. I don't have dramatic stories to give you. I don't. Everything I experienced that was dramatic was in my neighborhood outside of my house. My house, for the most part, I had some incidents and some issues with a stepdad and some things like that as far as hitting me, beating me, things like that. But as far as, but even that ended quick. So I guess what I'm trying to do is show you that I'm just a firm believer in bootstrapping it. Pull, get up off your ass and go get that shit done. That's the way I've always been. And because I've done it, I guess maybe I'm just a little bit, and I have to sometimes caution myself because I say everybody ain't me. But at the same time, I'm so resilient and so tough-minded that I'm like, man, I ain't giving up. I don't care if tomorrow I lose everything. Dang it, I got to get up, and I'm going to do it and get it again. And that's just me. And I'm not going to go to somebody else.
Hold on. I got to go. Hey, fellas, I got to go. I go, this is Rick. I got to go. I invite you to come on tomorrow, Matt, because I'm going to break down the RNC and promo the DNC. So tomorrow, that's what I'm doing, plus in college football. So I'm going to let y'all guys finish. I love each and every last one of y'all. Appreciate
I
you.
Do.
Love you.
I even love
you out later.
With his zany ass.
See
you. I got to go, guys.
Bye. All right,
take care. Take care.
All right. Hey, look, I wasn't.
I know. I'm just messing with you, man.
The school of thought that I was talking about had nothing to do with you personally, or your personal upbringing.
Right.
The school of thought that I was alluding to, and I also supported it, was the word balance. You know what I mean? There's a balance between government and business. You know what I mean? I come from the school of thought because I was raised here in D.C., and we all work for the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So there is a balance between big business and government. You know what I mean? You can't. Mm-hmm. You've got to have somebody with their eyes on the store. I'm a firm believer in that, because what'll happen is what we've been through and where we've got. That's all.
Right.
That's the part that I was talking about. Your school of thought that was disturbing.
Right.
The balance of it, because like you said, you know, you talked about business. Believe me, I have a degree in business. Business management.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I have
two businesses of my own, and you know what I mean. I come from basically the same type of background that you come from. You know, my mother, you know, basically raised me herself. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I kind of walked into manhood myself, and I'm the second eldest man of the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't tell Vic that, but I'm the second eldest man in the family. You know what I'm saying? And I've been you know, employed for 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm thinking, and I'm about to leave. You know, so I can go into my own business. So I understand. You know what I mean? I totally get it. But what I want to know is that there's somebody with their eyes on the store, and that's the thing that frightens the hell out of me. You know what I mean? The more we deregulate, you know what I'm saying, the more, you know, problems that we bring on. Now, I understand also that some regulations are hindrances. I understand that. But unless there's some type of balance being put there, and you're just and they're just out there preaching, saying we need to deregulate this, deregulate that. Okay, show me something that I can believe in and that I can see that's going to work for not only me, but the working class that's out here busting their ass. Because I don't think they get it. Matter of fact, I know he don't get it. He don't. You know,
and that was the thing I was saying.
The
only thing I say is this. Government was never meant or created. It was never to run businesses and to run social programs. It was never meant to run entitlements. It was never meant for that. The main reason why government is so, everything that the government runs is so terrible or broke or in the red, is because government was never intended to do that. how it was supposed to be is it was supposed to be that the government really is supposed to keep the rules and the regulations and open it up so that you, me, other people who want to approach their dream, the regulations open the opportunity, keep the opportunity open to us to go do that. But the problem is that over the years in our history, not presidents, not anybody, over the years, I'm talking about from the beginning, is that we've been adding more and more regulations, we've been adding more and more restrictions, we've done more and more for different groups and different people, and now what we're doing is we stymie job creation, we stymie people from being inventive. People like you who start a business on your own and want to go into business, we got too many regulations. I mean, you can't even go get a lemonade stand right now and put it up in Washington, D.C. if you wanted to, because if a cop come along or somebody and they find out, they tell you you got to go through a license, and then that's 10 or 15 pages you got to fill out and all these hoops you got to jump through just to open up a lemonade stand on a sidewalk. And so what I'm saying to you is that I agree with government, but government isn't supposed to be running stuff. What government's supposed to be doing is making sure that you get you put the regulations in that you need to keep the opportunity, but not so much that you stifle it and that you kill it and you choke it. And that's why I don't really believe that government should be doing that. Government shouldn't be doing it. They should be making it easier for you to get a job, for you to get a business and run it easier. You shouldn't have to fill out all this paperwork to go open up something and do something, you know. And that's what I don't believe. I don't believe in government running anything because government was.
You don't believe in bureaucracy. I mean, and that's cool. I understand.
I believe in free. I believe that government should open it up to free market enterprise and everybody should be able to do what they have to do. The regulations be there to keep us safe or to keep things right and to keep it fair. But I don't think it should be running things. Because really, let's break it down. To be honest with you, what was really supposed to happen is we were supposed to be out here doing our things and approaching our dreams. And really, and I'm a Christian, and I tell you, is we were supposed, the church was supposed to be the soup kitchen. The church was supposed to be the people that helped and gave to the poor and helped the poor through tough times and things like that. That's how it was supposed to be, but it hasn't become that. And I think a lot of it is because sometimes we have too many mega churches. We have these churches that are big and they're doing all this stuff, and all they're worrying about is getting the money and work, you know what I'm saying? But they're not worrying about the poor people. They're not reaching out to the poor. They do a little something, but they really ain't doing what they're supposed to. Because to be honest with you, the church is supposed to be a network all across this country that's supposed to be there, missions and everything else that's supposed to be helping people more than what we got now. So I lay that at their feet too, because if we had more churches that were established and were helping and giving, the government wouldn't be spending the money they're spending on entitlement. They wouldn't be, because you could go to your local church and get help. Or the government would be giving the money, some money, not as much, to churches to help out along with what they already give and helping out that way.
And see, I think that's where we just totally, like, disagree, because I don't trust big business. I don't.
Right.
I don't trust big business, as well as I don't trust government either. But if I had to choose between the two evils, I'm going to choose mm-hmm. government. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because, like I said, somebody's got to keep their eyes on the store. And if somebody don't keep their eyes on the store, they will raid us and rob us blind like they've been
mm-hmm.
doing.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
you know what,
contempt for. I don't have any contempt for free market. I love free market.
Mm-hmm.
I love capitalism. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I love
mm-hmm.
the fact that I could, you know, set up something and make a dollar
mm-hmm.
and pursue
mm-hmm.
my dreams
mm-hmm.
and this
mm-hmm.
this that and the third.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't want another business coming in and robbing me out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I should have the opportunity to get out here
and
earn
compete.
It the same way everybody.
You should
yeah,
be
compete,
able to. You should
like
be able to compete.
Else.
Right, and that's right. what I'm saying, and that is exactly what I'm saying about. The government should be there to make sure that it's fair, so that when somebody moves in next to you, you're competing on the same level playing field, and you're going to either have to, and that's where competition comes in. That's how we get good prices. That's how we get deals, but we don't.
Right, but see, but that's not how these big businesses are playing. They are playing enormously unfair.
Right,
and the more we don't protect ourselves,
right,
you know, and protect our economy and protect our growth by
mm-hmm.
having you know, certain types of regulation, it'll go crazy. But at
right.
the same time, you know, I understand as a businessman, you know, I don't want all these crazy taxes on me to stifle my growth.
Right.
But there's got to be a balance. There's got to be a balance. Because,
right.
You know, if it's not, then we're going to go much in the wrong direction.
Right.
Either it's just which direction we're going to choose in this election. You know what I'm saying? Are we going to choose
right.
to go back to, you know, deregulating and wind up right where we are and getting robbed again? Or
mm-hmm.
are we going to, you know, put it all together and try to come up with a plan where business is not being shipped out of, you know, America, as well as, you know, these big businesses playing so unfairly? Are we going to continue to allow that type of stuff? And the answer is no.
Right.
No, and it's like
okay.
we are a lot of people like myself feel so disenfranchised from it
mm-hmm.
that we can only turn to government. We can't
mm-hmm.
even. We don't have the money to band together and stand up. You know, we can march and protest and all that kind of carrying on.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's about that dollar. It's about that
right.
green buck, Slim.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Right. I agree. I agree with some of what you're saying. You know, I agree with most of what you just said. You know, but I tend to. How should I say it? I tend to rely on taking a business, taking an idea, taking something, creating it, and building my own. And you're right. Do you? You know, I understand what you say. You got. You know, you fear big business or corporations or what have you. You know, and I see that too, you know. But for me, the answer I think is just building something on your own and your own business and having your own money, your own thing, and doing it that way and building it and busting your tail doing it. But you're right, there is a balance between both. I agree with that. There should be a balance between both, but there isn't, because let's face it, all politicians have to pander to certain businesses and certain ideas and certain groups in order to get certain votes and getting things like that. I mean, to me, you know, I wish, honestly, that they would reform, you know, the campaign contributions and the super PACs and things like that. I wish they would, because I think that there's a lot of, well, we gave you all this money and we put you in here, now you got to do our agenda. And I think if it was something where you could give money to a campaign or raise a campaign but not have corporations or certain people involved directly into that, you would take a lot of that crap out. A lot of that, you know, because every president, everyone, Obama, all of them, have all been attached at the hip to big business and corporations, because they've always been the ones who have donated. They've always been the ones who put you there or given you the means to get there. And then when you get there, now you owe me. I mean, and I just think that's, like I said, I just think that's wrong. So I agree with what you're saying, but I just think I don't trust government, because government wasn't meant to keep their eye on the store, and they never have. Nobody can name me one thing that government run that's run right, and that's in the black, that's doing great. It's not one. And to me, I've seen that. So I'll take my chances with corporations, but again, you as a person have to keep your eye on that corporation and an eye on your money and an eye on your stuff. You have to. You know, I don't blame everything, those people's 401ks and people's stocks tanked during all that stuff. I don't blame it completely on the business. At some point, you got to follow up and look at your own stuff. You got to look at your 401k, man. You can't just be like, oh, it's all right. And then when you come back, you pissed off because you don't. But when did you look at it? When did you watch it? Still yours. You know, so I get you.
Hey, Mac.
Mm-hmm.
We're 40 minutes over.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you and thank the cousin for coming in. I always a pleasure. You do challenge me, and I do learn something. So I appreciate you. You're always welcome. You know, so.
You got it, sir. You know I got to come through and
wait
on your toes.
Actually, got to. Nothing personal. Respect you.
I'm going to have a
just so you and Jerry know, just so my listeners know, I am going to have a network happy hour. Starting in October. It's going to be every 2 weeks, where I'm going to get people like yourself to come down and mingle with people that you can talk to about your business and mingle in a relaxed atmosphere where you don't have to always, you know,
feel like I can't talk to these people, or everybody got their guard up. So I'm going to have that soon, and I'm planning that now, and it's going to be, and I'll invite you once I get it up and running.
Oh, no doubt, and I definitely would like to extend an invite to you, as we will be shooting our show live, and I would definitely like for you to come on there and give your opinions on certain things, and we can have a lively debate on video, Slim.
Exactly, I would love that. But do me this favor. I will come on your show live. But we got to do some sports. I can't do politics. I get tired, man. I be feeling like I'm wrestling with a. I feel like I'm wrestling with a fat chick at the club, man. I can't do it, man. I be feeling like I'm with a sumo wrestler. Y'all don't realize when I get off this phone, I be sweaty. My wife be like, "What the hell is wrong with you in the office?" I be like, "Man, they done pushed me to the limit. I don't want to talk about nothing political. I turn TV off. Let's go to the movie. Damn, forget this."
Okay.
So hey, I appreciate both of you, man. I do. I really do. I appreciate Vic too.
No problem.
All right.
You want to push us out of here or what?
Yeah, I push y'all out of here. Last thing I do want to say is one thing, just real quick, just to make y'all laugh. We out of here. We're getting ready to leave. But as we leave, somebody please tell Mr. Kraft, who owns the Patriots, that he is an idiot for saying that he thinks that Tom Brady is the best ever and better than Joe Montana.
Yeah.
He has to be smoking grass to think that. And I wish I saw him in his face going by me in any stadium, and I would tell him, "You, my friend, have got the game effed up." Because you, I can't believe he even said that. And when I read that today, I just said, that's crazy. But anyway, we out of here. We'll talk about these things next week. Next week is going to be the sports or some issue. But it will not be politics next week. I promise you. I don't care how much y'all say it. I'm not doing it. I'm taking a vacation from this until after November 6th. I'm done. I'm not doing no more. I'm sick of fighting y'all. Dang.
With that being said, this is the No Chaser with Mac and Jerry, and we're out.
We are out.